Welcome to the CLC podcast. CLC is the Columbus Leadership Campus of Point University located at North Highland Church. CLC exists to equip young leaders and to help them unlock their God-given potential through practical ministry training and a biblical education. For more information about our school, you can visit our website at clcgeorgia.com.
This morning I'm talking about position. I'm talking about your position, and it's going to I want to make sure our CLC current students don't check out, because this is just as much for you as it is for the people coming to experience what we're all about. Position's important. Like, I was thinking about it. I'm a basketball guy. Any basketball fans in the house? The Hawks just beat the Celtics for the second time. It's pretty awesome. The Cavs. They did beat the Celtics too, which is awesome. But I hate the Celtics. Anybody that can beat the Celtics, I want to see them lose. But here's the thing. We never see Shaquille O'Neal dribbling the ball up the court, do we? Like, that would be a mess. I know he doesn't play, and maybe some of y'all have never even seen him play, which is sad. But you don't put a 7-foot monster in a position to dribble up the court. He's going to fail. I strategically positioned myself. I said, hey, Justin, I would love to preach at the CLC experience. I put myself in a position because I want to make the most impact. I strategically positioned myself because I believe the Lord put it on my heart to give you his word to call you out, to call you to your greatness, to call you to your potential, to call you to what he has for your life. And here's what I believe with all of my heart for CLC and everyone that's visiting this morning. You have been called by God to change the world. You have been called by God to change the world. Your life is not normal. You are not just a number. You're not just a statistic. You're not just called to normalcy or complacency. You are called by the living God and empowered by the Spirit of the living God to change this world forever. John, one of my favorite verses, my wife Jubilee is also one of the, she's the academic advisor and one of the professors here at the school. She gave me a ring when we were dating. It was pretty awesome. It had this cool cross. And on the inside of it, she inscripted my name, Jonathan, which means God's gracious gift. Praise the Lord. And it also had this verse, and it's one of my life verses. It's John 14:12, and it says, very truly, I tell you, Jesus is saying, hey, listen closely, truly, I'm telling you that whoever believes in me will do the works I've been doing, and they will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. When Jesus Christ, the Son of God, says you're going to do something greater than even he did, that's when my ears perk up, and I'm like, wait a second. All the junk the enemy of my soul has been feeding me and telling me I'm worthless, I'm not good enough, I'm not capable, I'm too shy, my personality doesn't match. Jesus himself, in his gospel, said, hey, guess what? If you will just believe, you're going to do even greater things than me because you are called to change the world. Ephesians 3:20 says that God is able to do immeasurably more than we could all ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us. There's a key, it's God doing it through us. But the cool part about God doing stuff through us is it blows our expectations away. God can do exceedingly and abundantly more than we could even ask or imagine if we'll just believe him for it. Amen. You are a world changer. I want you to say, I am a world changer right now. 3, 2, 1. Let's do it. Come on, we got to do this. I am a world changer. God has called you to change the world. This scripture tells me that your expectations, your hopes, your dreams, your ambitions, your aspirations are actually smaller than what God has planned for you. What you hope to do with your life is actually small in comparison to God's plan for your life. That's the coolest part. Whenever God blows my expectations away, I'm like, that's you, God. That's how it works. Thank you. I'm so glad it works that way because I always shoot too low. But God has high expectations for us. And this morning, I want us to hone in on this truth. How you choose to position yourself will determine the impact in this world and in the kingdom of God. How you position your life will determine your impact. How you choose to position yourself. Here's a practical example. In my life, Jubilee and I had been dating for 2 years. We had a God-fearing, God-honoring relationship. We were very much in love with one another, but I knew if I sneezed wrong, she would leave me. She walked in holiness, and she had just a holy swag about her. She was like, "You can hold my hand, boy, but you try to do anything, I'll slap you." It was awesome. It was scary, intimidating. And she's still making me a better man today. And we've been dating for 2 years, and we had it all lined up. It was so perfect because we were ready to go on this internship to Nashville, Tennessee. We had this internship set up with this mentor of ours. We were going to learn the ropes from him and then take over his ministry because we had pride in our hearts. That was me. That was my pride. I was like, he's going to show me how it's done, and then I'm going to just take it and run, baby. When he's too old, it's mine. And so 2 weeks before we are to move to Nashville, Tennessee, we're literally starting to pack. And 2 weeks before this internship, we get a phone call saying, hey, guess what? The internship is no more. It's canceled. It's done. There was a marital issue with the leadership, and it was like he had to choose his marriage or his ministry, and he chose correctly. He chose his marriage. And so we're in this position. We're like, what in the world are we going to do? Because at that moment, at that time, it was too late to register for college. The deadlines were passed. We couldn't get into school. It was like September. And so we're praying. We're asking God, where are we going to go? What are we going to do? And in that moment, one of our youth pastor friends showed us this ministry called Rockford Master's Commission, this 9.5-month internship. And in Rockford, Illinois, which is 10 miles from Wisconsin, over 800 miles away from home. We know nobody. We don't know Jeannie Mayo, even though, guess what? She was leading it. And we had no clue. We were in an Assemblies of God church, but we didn't know anything about the Assemblies of God. And we're like, I'm skeptical. I'm like, man, I'm just going to chill and play video games for a couple months, right? And the next thing I know is Jubilee tells me, it was like a couple days later, she said, hey, guess what? I applied to Rockford Master's Commission. Oh, and by the way, I also sent my non-refundable deposit because I'm going with or without you. And you better believe, here's why position is important. You better believe this guy saw something in this young lady, and I position myself strategically. Hey, guess what I'm doing for the next few months? I am positioning my life. Because if she gets a hold of looking at some other guy that's much handsomer than me and much more anointed than me, man, it's over. And so I am going to position myself to be close. Because your position matters. Can I get an amen? In that moment, as an 18-year-old young man, I realized this life principle. You and I must strategically position our lives in order to make the most impact. We've got to strategically position our lives to make the most impact. If you're not thinking about how you're positioning your life and how it's going to impact the world around you, then you need to start thinking about that right now. CLC students, if you are thinking that you can just do what you're told and get by and just do the status quo, you better start thinking, how can I make the most impact in the ministry that I'm serving? Because you've been given a position to lead. You've been given a position to serve. You've been given a position to advance the kingdom of God in the ministries that you love and appreciate. I knew that if I let this young woman go without me, she would go 9.5 months. Can I tell you this morning that success doesn't happen by chance? Success doesn't just magically happen. Success in life and in ministry comes from putting yourself in the right position to make the most impact. Leonard Ravenhill said, the opportunity of a lifetime must be seized in the lifetime of an opportunity. When you see an opportunity in front of you, you got to think to yourself, is this going to position me to make a difference in this world? Matthew 12:22-14, says, many are called, but few are chosen. It's a really peculiar voice or scripture, because it's like all of us in this room are called, but few are chosen. And I believe what Jesus was trying to say is all of you are called to do ministry. All of you are called to transform the world, but few of us will actually position ourselves correctly to do that. And we've got to be strategic in how we position our lives. At CLC, we want to change that in the lives of as many young men and women as possible. We want to make sure that your young people, there's parents in the room, we want to make sure that your college student gets positioned to make the most impact in this life. Jesus is who we desire to be like, and his presence is what we're after, and he changed the world like no one else in human history. So I thought it'd be good this morning to look at how Jesus himself positioned his life before he was launched into ministry. If you got your Bibles, I want to turn to Luke chapter 2. And in Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 41, we see a story about Jesus as a 12-year-old young man. And he may be 12, but he's still the Son of God, so he does things differently. It's really cool. And it says this in verse 41. It says, every year Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. And after the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. But they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled for a day. Man, these guys need defects for sure. And then they began looking for him among their relatives and their friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. And I was thinking to myself, I'm going to keep going through this story, but I want to pause for a second. And just, I was thinking personally, it must have taken a lot of courage for Jesus to stay behind. As a 12-year-old little boy, it had to have taken some inner strength, some like, hey, there go my parents, I'm going to stay here. Like, when I was 12, I remember getting lost in the mall, and like, because I was that kid who was always, you know, those racks that have circles, and there's clothes all the way around so you can get in the middle and hide. I was that kid that hid in that circle rack, and then by the time I popped out, hey, surprise, I'm here, where's my mom? And I was scared. And this reminds me of one of our first major events, Pastor Juan, with Real Life Student Ministries, is we went to Orlando, Florida with our National Fine Arts trip. And we took our team to Orlando, and we're checking everybody in, and it's really awesome. How many fine arts participants are there in the room? Praise God, you're awesome. Discover, develop, and deploy. Amen. So we're checking into the hotel. Jubilee's got Lucas and Sophia, and of course Damien is flirting with Madison and Mackenzie Shiver because he's a smart little boy. Not really. He's just, you know, he's attracted to girls. And so we're thinking, hey, guess what? He's safe. I'm going to check the students in. I'm going to get everything settled. And we get everything done. And finally, we get up to the hotel room, and Jubilee and I look at each other, and we're like, it's like this moment in Scripture, where's Damien? What have we done? And I call my wife because she is like about to go off. Like, she's ready to explode. Where is my baby? Like, it's like Batman. Where's the reactor? She's like... And so I tell her, baby, it's okay. Let me go get him. He's with the students. I'll go find him. Don't worry. Everything's okay. Shh. And so by the time I walk from our room, and before I even get to the elevator, I'm picking up my phone because an Orlando phone number is calling me, and I'm thinking to myself, oh, Lord. And I pick up the phone, and my son, in his brilliance, at that time he was like 5, almost 6 years old, had memorized my cell phone number. He walked up to a little manager at the hotel, and this manager was on the other line. Sir, you want to come get your son that you left in our hotel lobby in Orlando, Florida? It was so I had this walk of shame as the doors open, and I'm walking, and he gives me this, like, I'm going to get you if you ever do this again. He puts the fear of God in me. And so as a young boy, I want to relate this to the scripture now. Jesus knew that if he was going to be in a position to change the world, he'd have to be fearless. He knew, he was getting a clue, man, my life is different. I'm supposed to change the world with my life. And so because of that fact, he started owning up to the fact that he needed to live his life different. He needed to live with a fierceness, with a fearlessness in his spirit. At a young age, he was beginning to realize who he was and what his purpose was, just like many of you are now. He realized that he would have to be willing to leave the provision of his parents to position himself to receive direct provision from God. Where was he? Joseph, where is he? He was in the temple. Some of our current CLC students need to learn from this example. Chasing a minimum wage paycheck will not get you in the position you need to change this world. You may need to pay some bills, but if you get in the presence of God, God will pay your bills for you. You've got to trust him and not have fear. Getting in the presence of God will pay your bills. Placing yourself around mentors as often as you can will position you to make sure your future is bright. I'm telling you, your manager at Willy Good Pizza ain't gonna cut it. I'm just saying. Let me preach for a second. Being with Mary, Jesus was realizing this. Being with Mary and Joseph at a young age would have been the safe and comfortable thing to do. Can you hear that? Don't miss that. Being with his parents was the safe and comfortable thing. But let me tell you, people who are called to change history live differently. The voice of human reasoning says to be where it is comfortable, to position yourself where it's safe, to be where it works for everyone else. That's human reasoning. That's the voice of human thought. But my Bible challenges me in Romans 12:2 to not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of my mind through God's word. That's an important element. It's got to be God's word, because if I just am to myself in a prayer closet doing my kumbayas, it's not going to work. My foundation is in his word. Jesus knew if he was going to change this world, he would need to position himself in the epicenter of revival, the primary vessel of God's choice to advance his kingdom on this planet, which is God's church, the church of Jesus Christ, the Catholic church, meaning the universal church. And that's why CLC is positioned in the local church. It's because we believe God wants to use the local church to advance his kingdom. Sure, there's other ways you can do that. Sure, there's other ministries. There's other needs in this world. There's parachurch organizations that are doing great and awesome things. But when I look at my Lord and Savior, who I want to be like, when he left his mother and father, you found him in the church. And that's where I want to be, is in the church. My parents, this may be hard to believe. Some of you don't know this, but my parents actually discouraged me from going to Bible school. My dad was a bivocational minister up until I was 11 years old, and he told me, he sat me down. We were about to leave for Lee University to get our education, and he told me, he said, "Jonathan, don't do it." He said, "It's going to break your heart, son. Ministry is going to hurt. It's going to be painful. People will stab you in the back. People will hate you for loving them. People will be nasty. It's going to break you. You're not going to make enough money." That's the lie the enemy wants to tell us, isn't it, Brian? "You're not going to get enough provision." That's a lie from the pit of hell. God can supply all our needs according to his riches in glory. He's got the bills paid, son. That baby's healthy. It's coming. Hallelujah. Man, they encouraged me, "Jonathan, just get a normal degree. Get a degree in something that you could be good at. You're good with numbers. Go ahead. Get an accounting degree. Do something." I was going to be like Dwight Schrute. Been watching The Office lately, just saying. Dunder Mifflin. They said, just get a regular job and do your thing and serve when you can in your free time. Do that. And that's necessary. That's needed. The church needs volunteers. But I knew deep within my spirit that God had called me to be more than just a volunteer. He called me to be a leader. He called me to change the world. He called me not to just help. He called me to be a catalyst for change. And so I had to look at my parents and say, you know what? I honor you. I respect you. I thank you for trying to lead me and guide me and protect me. But guess what? I know what God's called me to. And like my Lord and Savior, I had to leave my mother and father. I had to leave my comfort zone and get myself in the church. And I'm so glad I didn't listen to the voice of human reasoning, because for each and every week for the past 11, almost 12 years, I have seen salvation happen on a weekly basis. I've seen transformation happen on a weekly basis. God has used me to preach the gospel in almost 18 countries on the face of this planet. I've seen miracles, signs, and wonders. I've been provided for more than enough. The more I get, the more I give away, because God has got us. And I would never trade it for anything else, because guess what? It is worth it. It is worth it. Going to a state university like all of your closest friends who are graduating with you may seem the safe and comfortable move. But after all, that's what that is what normal people do, right? That's the safe thing. And I'm not, I promise you, I value education, I value the state system, but there is something powerful in the local church. Normal 12-year-olds stay with their parents, but Jesus knew he wasn't normal. I've come this morning to tell every young leader in this room, neither are you. You're not normal either. You're called to change this world. You can get the same accredited education here as you would any other university, but at CLC, you will be inspired to live in the supernatural and not settle for normal. It's the same, but it's different. It's better. See, I believe Habakkuk 1:5 is for you. Jesus said in his word, look to the nations and be utterly amazed, because I'm going to do a work within you that even if you were told, you wouldn't comprehend. You wouldn't even believe it if I told you. What God has planned and purposed for your life is so big that if God told you right now in this moment, it would blow your mind. I believe that with all of my heart. But here's the thing. Sometimes the high calling of God will position you in uncomfortable settings. My first role in ministry, I learned the importance of living above reproach to avoid even the appearance of evil, as one of my best friends, my co-laborer in the ministry, the children's pastor, was exposed for having an 8-month affair with one of the secretaries at our church. We shared offices. His name was Jonathan. Can I be a witness? That was uncomfortable. Can I tell you that? Her husband, who was an ex-Green Beret who could literally kill people without anyone knowing, calls me on the phone and tells me, Jonathan, tell me this isn't true. And in that moment, I'm like, no, that's the wrong Jonathan. It's the other guy. It wasn't me. No. I promise. I swear. We shared an office and that was it. Oh, my gosh. It was in that uncomfortableness that I learned the value of living above reproach, that I'm not invincible. Just because I'm a pastor doesn't mean I don't have to have boundaries. I learned that through a hard and difficult, uncomfortable experience, but it shaped me. It positioned me to have a greater impact in the kingdom, because now, because of that, I can be a better example to my students today. Our second role in ministry was a test of our motives, because we waited it out. It was like almost 9 months that we stuck it through. We helped serve in the children's ministry and keep the children's ministry alive, because he obviously was fired. We helped serve in dual roles and served in the children's ministry, which was not easy. I love my kids, but other kids are hard, guys. And here's what happened. About 9 months later, we were about to be launched into youth ministry, and that's when my motives were tested. Because I was offered two jobs, and can I just say, options are great. Options are a good thing. When you have options, it's good. But the two options I had, one job was in North Carolina, and it was in a church of like 800 plus people, and the salary package was bigger than what I make here. And I'm like, hey, wait a second. I've never seen that much money in a year. The student ministry had all the bells and whistles. They had their own building with pool tables, with flat screen televisions, with fog machines and laser beams. And it was like, oh my gosh, everything's. It was right beside the mall positioned for evangelism. Wow. And it was like that apple hanging from the tree. It was shiny, juicy, and ready for the picking. And then the other option was in this place called Bethalto, Illinois. Yeah. It was $20,000 less in pay. In a church of like 200 people with a youth ministry of like 8 kids who were forced to be there. And they hated it. And my motives and our intentions were tested, and it was uncomfortable because God was testing us to see what we were chasing. Were we chasing to change the world, or were we chasing a paycheck? And in our conviction, we knew that the Spirit of God had called us to some podunk town in Illinois. But in that moment, in that experience, God trained us and taught us. He positioned us. He was positioning us to reach the lost, because right outside of St. Louis, it is not cool to be a Christian. It's not cool to go to church. It is not famous. We were outside of the Bible Belt, where it is not easy to grow a youth ministry. But he positioned us in a place to where that rowdy group of 8 kids who hated God and hated us and hated the church, we used them, and God used them to revolutionize that ministry. And there were over 60 coming on a weekly basis. Huge explosion. And every single one of them, it wasn't church hoppers coming to our youth ministry because it was cooler. It was genuine salvation. They'd never heard the gospel, and now their lives had been set free. It's because God positioned us to change their world. That's what I learned there. It was uncomfortable, though. So it was 800 miles away. Once again, God keeps taking me away and bringing me back. But I was willing. I hope you're willing. The story keeps going. In Luke 46, it says, after 3 days, where did they find Jesus? They found Jesus in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them, asking them questions. And everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. If we had time and we went around this room and communicated and had you vocalize your calling and your gifting, man, we would look around this room and be amazed just like they were. Because you're just as called to change the world. Everyone who heard. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, and y'all know what this feels like, why have you treated us like this? Y'all heard that recently, huh? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you. Here's the deal. Most 12-year-olds would be afraid to lose sight of their parents in a strange setting. But Jesus had this confidence in him because he was realizing the impact he was called to make on this world. And if you know you're in the will of God, you will be able to live life with confidence, to do things with confidence that others will be afraid to even attempt. If you know you're in the right position, you know you're in God's will, you will have a confidence about you to not be afraid. And you'll do things that your peers are afraid of. See, at CLC, our desire is to produce confident leaders who dare to be different because they know their calling is to change the world. We don't want to produce just volunteers, hands that can do the work, the grunt work. We're not producing slaves in this ministry school. We are producing ministers of the gospel who are confident in their high calling. Now I'm 34 years young. I know I'm talking a lot about myself, but I'm trying to help you see. I didn't just get to the position I am today because it didn't just arrive. It didn't just happen. It's because of a long process of positioning myself to change the world. Next month, I'll be given the highest approval of the Assemblies of God as I get ordained at General Council with my wife. It's going to be awesome. We're excited about it. I've been a pastor at 4 incredible churches, ministering in Illinois, Tennessee, Missouri, Georgia. I've been to 18 different countries. I've preached. And in my time as a youth pastor in Georgia, I've had the privilege to lead some of the top student ministries within the Assemblies of God for over 6 years. And now we're moving into year 2 of founding the best ministry school in Georgia, Columbus Leadership College. Training young leaders to believe that their lives can make a global impact if they position themselves correctly by getting an education while gaining hands-on ministry experience. None of this just happened by mistake. Jubilee and I positioned ourselves because we knew God wanted us to change the world through our obedience to Him. This morning, I want you to realize to position yourself means going through a process, and sometimes there's pain in the process. I can sense some pain in Jesus' response in His voice as the passage comes to an end in verse 49. Jesus is saying, "Why are you searching for me?" I can sense some frustration in His voice. Like, as a 12-year-old boy, He's smart enough to be like, "Why are you even looking for me, Dad? Where'd you expect me to be?" It's like when Pastor Juan's looking for me on Tuesday. Where's Pastor Jonathan? Where you think he is? He's in the chapel praying. That's where Jesus was. Get yourself in the presence of God. Position yourself. And so Jesus was kind of frustrated. Did you forget when the angel came, Mom, and said, "Hey, guess what? You're about to give birth to the Son of God"? Where did you think I was going to be? Can you sense the frustration? Jesus is saying, "Why are you searching for me?" He asked, "Didn't you know that I had to be in my Father's house?" But they didn't understand what He was saying to them. They went down to Nazareth. Then He went down to Nazareth with them. And I bet that was painful for Him. And He was obedient to them. But His mother treasured all of these things in her heart. Why did she treasure it? It's because she knew what He was doing. He was positioning Himself to change the world. And Jesus, catch this, listen closely to this. Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with man. I'm going to invite Rachel and the group to come. Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature in favor with God and with man. Many of us will read this passage and glance over the fact that it would be another 18 years before Jesus would begin His public ministry. That's why there was frustration in His voice. Because He knew what He was called to do, but He also knew He was called to a process to get there. That process He was willing to submit to, and knowing He was the Son of God, He still went through that process. He knew that going through the process would get Him into a position to change the world as we know it forever. And all throughout Scripture, we see that leaders who shaped the world and made a significant impact were willing to go through a refining process. If we look at David, he was anointed. He was overlooked, but also anointed to be king. And it took him, after his anointing, he then had to face Goliath. And then after Goliath, he had to face a crazy king who wanted to take him out. And he had a process where it would be from the time he was anointed to the time he was king of Judah, it was 15 years before he became king of Judah. And it would be almost 20 years from the time of his anointing until he became king of all of Israel. So there was a process to be made, and he's been known as the greatest king of Israel of all time. And I'm betting the reason he was the greatest is because he was willing to submit himself to the process that God had to make him great. Joseph had a dream. Joseph was kind of braggadocious when he told his brothers. That was kind of dumb. Somebody should have taught him how to communicate. But he told his brothers and his family his dream, and the next thing he finds himself in a pit, sold into slavery. And then Potiphar's wife lies on him. gets them thrown in prison, that there's pain in the process. Man, Jubilee and I were called to be married. We got married. We spent a few years learning to be married. Then we said, let's have children. And our first child was miscarried. In the second trimester, it was a painful process. But God was setting us up to have three of the most beautiful children on the face of this planet. What I'm trying to say, Joseph waited 13 years before he saw his dream realized. But if you know the process is positioning you to change the world, then the pain is always worth it. It's always worth it. At CLC, we believe that college is a vitally important process in the development of young leaders whose calling is to change the world. Current students, your GPA matters. C does not equal carefree. D does not equal diploma. What that shows us as your mentors and your leaders is that you are not submitting yourself fully to the process. And if you want to be hired on this staff at any point, you better show me your GPA. Because Scripture tells us in 2 Timothy 2:5, study and show yourself approved to God. Not just to us, but to God. A worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles God's word. The reason I have the ability to hold this microphone is because I worked my tail off in the classroom. I submitted myself to a process. At CLC, we believe that if Jesus, and I want you to hear this so clearly, if Jesus needed to grow in wisdom and stature with God and with men, then so do you. If Jesus Christ, the Son of God, needs to grow in wisdom and stature, then I do too. You do too. God wants to use you to change the world. Can we all stand? Let's bow our hearts and close our eyes. The presence of God is here. God, we love you in this moment. I want to invite Pastor Dennis and some of the pastoral staff, if you don't mind coming and joining me up here. We're going to have a God, we thank you for your high calling that's on our life. God, we thank you that we're not called to be normal. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your example that you've given us in Jesus. He's a perfect example. In this moment, I want to just share personally, it's going to be quick, but I had an opportunity to play college basketball right out of high school. I used all of my college visits to go and play at a small Christian school, and I scrimmaged with a team. There was an anointing. I was hitting jump shots that I was not supposed to hit. I was D'ing people up. Praise the Lord. And I had that experience where me and my dad sat down with the coach, and the coach looked at us and he said, Jonathan, you've got a spot on the team. In fact, you may even be the sixth man on the team as a freshman, which is a big deal. I was like, praise God. Sign me up, coach. Where's the scholarship papers? And in that moment, the coach looked us in the eye and he said, Jonathan, I don't want you here because of basketball. I want you here because it's where God is leading you. He understood the importance of position. He understood that if you chase after ambitions that are not in line with changing the world, man, you're in the wrong position. So this morning, we're going to open up this altar and have a time of prayer. If you're a current CLC student and you'd say to me, Pastor, you know, I'm in a position where I've been given this opportunity to be formed and mentored, to grow in wisdom and stature with God and with man. But I've been neglecting that position. I haven't realized the value of it. And I want to realign myself this morning. I want to realign myself to the power of God's position for my life, that He has called me to change the world. I want to get in line with that. If that's you, if you're a current student, you can respond, and we'd love to pray with you. But here's what we want to tell everyone else that's visiting as a guest. We're going to show you our best face. We're going to give you the best and tell you all the great and awesome things about our school. But we don't want you here unless it's God's will. We don't want you to come here if it's the wrong place for you. But if it's the right place, then we want you to fight. We want you to do whatever you can to get yourself in position, because if you get in that position, you will change the world.